Today we enter into the first of seven conversations that are all about your delightful body. This series is an opportunity for you to once again meet your most powerful and delightful creation. It is what is sitting at the center of all that you are calling forth. Your number one version is an extension of this very device. This is, of course, your amazing, delightful, wondrous body. Now, first and foremost, your body acts as a communication device. That is its primary function. It communicates in several different ways. And we're not talking about blah, blah, blah speech. We're not talking about your ability to read or hear and understand language. That's not the communication we're talking about. That is part of it, but that's not the communication we're specifically talking about here. Your body gives life to the things that surround it. The potted plant, the painting, the tree outside the window, the chair and the table and the rug are all extensions of your body. The specific forms that each one of these things take is very specific to you, tailored towards the way your eyes work and your ears work and your fingers work and how your nervous system is interacting with all these objects. Remember that you're an ongoing, continuing manifesting. There is not a finished thing that you're then interacting with object to object. You're always, always, always interacting with your physical reality through your body, which is subject to you, and all of the things extending outward, which are subject to your body. Now, your body, as we say, is primarily a communication device, and the things you're communicating with are the objects inside this physical reality, this hologram. Your body helps you navigate this reality, which is almost something that doesn't bear even saying. That's obvious. Without the body, you don't navigate. Now, you may say, but I have projected while in meditation, and I have gone out into my reality without my body. I can see my body sitting in the chair, and I'm floating over it, and I'm running around doing things in that. But that's a body-oriented idea. Everything about that, it sounds like you're outside your body, but you're very much part of your body. You're just within the context, and your perceiving is all driven by your body. One way to remember this, and particularly the uniqueness and the individuality of this particular number one version you're inhabiting at this red hot minute, is that if all of you gathered for this conversation were in a room together, and you each had your own portal, a door, and over the door was your name, here's how this looks. Your body is, of course, the identifier you're using for your name. That a name only has meaning within the physical realm. Names are not meaningful outside of this. So you have a body, and you have a name, and you have a personality, and you're in this room with these others who are part of this series of conversations. The only thing you will be able to see in this realm is the other people as bodies, but the bodies that you assign to them. You will be able to see your door with your name over it. You will not be able to see any other doors with any other names, because you can only relate to and interact with that which belongs to you. So when you project out and you're thinking about astral projection or something like that, or just even in a dream state, everything is very driven and centered around your physical form, not your body even itself, although that's what we'll be talking about through the series. But rather the idea of the body and how it expresses itself. But we'll ground that conversation in the physical aspects of the body. So, just to get this out of the way, just to be very clear, again, in that room where all of you are gathered together, if you were able to see the door of another person, which is an if that cannot actually be ever satisfied, and then, if you were actually able to open the door, which again would not happen You would not be able to see the door. You would not be able to open it. But then if you were able to actually open it and you were able to, again, not able to, but if you were able to then enter into the reality of one of the other people in this group, nothing would make sense to you. The colors would be wrong. Up and down, left and right, front and back would all be very strange. Sounds would be different. Things you've never heard before and would not make any sense to you. Because for one thing, your brain, which by the way is an instrumental part of all of this perceiving, the fact that there's a room with other people in it, with doors, is something you need a brain for in order not to be able to conceive, but to be able to assign values to. Your mind has no capacity, just as we do not. Your mind, being a non-physical entity, has no capacity to really truly understand what is happening on a physical level. But you, the possessor of the body with the brain and the nervous system, as you're thinking about this, you're using your brain and all of its abilities to communicate, to imagine what a door would be like in a room full of people in this conversation. In a dream state, when you're asleep and you're dreaming, or when you're meditating and you're dreaming, or when you're just daydreaming, when you go off away, all of the data that you get about what is going on is all very tailored to your body, your brain, your nervous system, in your body, in this reality, in the way that you're manifesting it right now. It's all very number one version oriented. That's why we call it the number one version. Everything about you is a number one version. The truth of who you are, of course, is not bound by this. But here in this series, what we're going to be doing is going down deep into what's right at the center of your number one version, which is your physical form, the body. And to talk about it in delightful terms, which is the only way that it truly can be addressed or discussed. So in the introduction to this series, when we wrote, or rather when Frank wrote these things, and he was, if you noticed, some of you may have figured this out, this is text that was lifted from a prior series done many years ago. And he updated it just a little bit based upon suggestions that we had. But we said, do this, let's do this, but let's do it over again from a different perspective. So one of the things that we mentioned was, here are the reasons why this would be a really good series. You want to feel better physically. You want to explore what your body is capable of. You want to let go of old ideas about what you're supposed to look like. It's a big thing for many of you. You want to figure out how to get the body you want. And you want to look in the mirror and see magnificence staring back at you. Then we said, here are some things we're not going to be discussing in this series. Now, Frank argued with us quite a bit about whether to include this part or not. He said, that's not nice. It's very confrontational, yada, yada, yada. And that's interesting. It's very fascinating, but it isn't relevant. From our perspective, this is exactly right. Here are things we will not be discussing in this series. How you got here, or rather why you got here, to where you are with your body, what's wrong with you, how your body is too much of something like fat or sick or broken, and where you should go to get better, and in particular, who exactly is to blame for what you have, such as yourself or someone else. These conversations don't go anywhere. It's not that we're not talking about them. Undoubtedly, they will come up. But when they come up, we will do, as many of you are quite familiar with, what we normally do, which is to say there's not really a lot of relevance to that. However, that doesn't mean we're not suggesting you don't ask those questions. There are too many negatives. That doesn't mean we're not suggesting you not ask those questions. In other words, do ask them if they arise, but be prepared for what might arise in response. Now, the reason we point all this out about the description and where it came from and all of this is because this is an ongoing conversation we've been having since the beginning of our conversations with anyone about their body. The body is perfect. It's a delightful device. It's specifically for communication. It's how you navigate and negotiate with your physical reality. It's why your physical reality exists. It's your number one body and your number one version. You have it. You're not defined by it. It is an expression of you, but it is not an indictment of you. It is exactly right, exactly perfect, exactly right here, right here, right here, and right now. Now, when we say that your body is a delightful communication device, which is the topic of the day today, what we mean by this is that, first of all, your body is a delight. If you start with your toes and you go all the way up to the top of your head, to the tip of your nose and out to the tip of your fingers, and everywhere in between, you may find things you don't like, but they will be far and few between. What you will mostly find are things that you either would consider yourself to be neutral about, which isn't really the case, but we'll just use that for this particular conversation. Things that you would be considering yourself neutral about, or things that you actually do like. Now would be a really good time, if you are in a place where you are able to do so, to explore some of these things. Remember, when you take your fingers and you run your fingers over, let's say, your legs or your abdomen or your face, there are nerve endings being activated. You're basically rubbing nerve endings against each other. And so you get stimulation. Some parts of your body have more nerve endings that are more delicate and more sensitive, and some have sort of a more broad kind of like, well, there's generally a feel there, but it's not very specific. All of this nerve ending stimulation, if you take a deep breath and realize where you are and what you have, is quite delightful indeed. In a way that is sometimes confounding to the anatomist or the biologist or the medical doctor, your body is full of electricity. That's how your nervous system works. That's how your brain works. That's how your heart works. But you don't have a battery anywhere. You're not plugged in directly to an outlet. And you may say, well, I empower my body and I charge it by consuming certain kinds of foods or drinking certain kinds of drinks or doing certain kinds of things. True, but your body will still continue even when you are deprived of all of those things for long periods of time. Some shorter and some longer than others. So there's an inherent nature to this body. What is animating it? Well, from our perspective, what's animating it are two different things, and they're happening at two different levels and for two very different reasons. First, there's the intention that you have that is vast and astonishing in what it really is saying and doing for you. And that is the fact that you wish to separate yourself from you. You are individuating out away from the truth of who you are, breaking yourself up into pieces in order to become more of what each of those pieces are, both jointly and severally. Meaning that your unconditional love, conditioning yourself out into a piece and a part in order to become more of the unconditional love that you are. That's one reason, and it's a very powerful reason. It's the animating, probably the single most animating aspect of your physical form. And it is one that is so powerful, so present, so immediate, and so instant. It does not generate a lot of contrast until you begin to examine it, and then it will begin to generate contrast. It becomes intellectually curious. That will then amplify into other ideas and situations. But it still goes on and on, moment after moment, for as long as you're here, which will remind you is not very long at any one instant. You're only here for a few seconds to maybe a few minutes, maybe as long as 30 minutes, but rarely do we ever encounter anyone who's present in their physical form for more than 30 minutes. It's never really ever been anything we've encountered. What we do know, what we can see, and what's very plain to us is that you hop in and hop out, and it's not a big deal. You think you're imagining something, and you think you're sitting in your chair imagining something about last night or tomorrow or over there or with someone else, and that you're just sitting in the chair, but that's because you have a backstory that fills in once you come back into your body from having gone on your imaginary journey. An imaginary journey that is very real and has a lot of very specific ways in which it is creating things. It's not imaginary in the discarded way of talking about it from a logical perspective. Oh, that's just imagination, and that's just you making it up. You're making everything up, so that doesn't really mean anything. Now, again, your journey of individuation is your primary animating force, but it's not the only one. the delight. If we draw your attention back to your fingertips and your legs, your abdomen, your face, where you run your fingers over your body and you're stimulating the nerve endings, it's delightful. It's amazing. It's wondrous. It's astonishing. Now, you may not think so, because you are quite accustomed to this. But from a ghostly perspective, from where we sit, it's amazing. To watch you interact with your body in this way is an astonishing thing to see. It utterly is delightful. It radiates off of you. But it's so normal to you, you may not recognize it until you do recognize it. And then when you do recognize it, and we think each of you have all had this experience more than one time, it can suddenly feel almost overwhelming when you realize how astonishingly delightful your body actually is. In whatever form it may be at this red hot minute, with whatever it has going on, the delightful aspect of this, in terms of the communication device that it is that this same delight is imbued and very much part of, in fact, it is the organizing idea behind all of the objects that you see in the room around you. Again, you're so accustomed to this, it's so normal, you may not really realize it until you do begin to put your attention on it. And as any of you know, in fact, most of you have done this, if you ever have sort of a meditation or you sit down in a chair and you start putting your attention on gratitude or appreciation or adoration of any sort of stripe for any particular thing that is in the room with you, you begin to feel, of course, it's a feedback loop, so it amplifies that feeling inside of you as you put the attention on it. That's you giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. That there's a delight there that underlies all of it. If you take your fingers, if you walk up to the potted plant and you take your fingers and you begin to caress the leaves of the plant. Now, unless it is the case that you have some odd plant, never before known to man, that will be able to reach back and touch you and caress you in return. It would probably be a very odd thing indeed. It's possible, it could happen, but likely it is not happening. But just the fact that you're caressing the leaves of the plant, you can feel, if you pay attention, that the plant will respond in kind. But you do have to pay attention because it's background noise for most of you most of the time. It's happening all the time. When you walk by a plant and you look at it and you think, oh, that's so pretty, or oh, that's so functional, even that, the plant really does give back to you what you're giving to it. But see, because the plant doesn't have logic and it doesn't have the ability to temper or regulate anything, it just returns back the pure, unadulterated delight that you have offered it. It returns it in amplification. That's why you have all these objects. It's for that purpose, to amplify delight. The bed upon which you lie, for example, if you notice, it is indeed quite a delicious and delightful and amazing thing. It's a powerful thing, in fact, to pay attention to this being what it is. To notice that you are in the right place at the right time, right here and right now, having more and more and more of what you're wanting. So today being the day of your great good, and now being the time and here being the place where everything is happening for you, you're sitting in the midst of all this delight. It is the animating force as well. On the one hand, you have the individuation desire, which is to amplify all of this. And so that happens through the potted plant. You're amplifying the unconditional love through the conditionality of delight. It is a conditional thing, delight. Because if you can name it, it's conditional. Unconditional love is two words that we use that has three syllables, four syllables, and is not really at all anything close to describing what it actually is. It comes as close as we've ever been able to find. But the truth is, when you say it's delightful, it's amazing, it's wondrous, some of those may be throwaway words for you. They're not for us. Anytime we say wondrous, we mean wondrous. Anytime we say amazing, we mean amazing. But you may consider them to be throwaway words, but they're not really. And anytime you individuate down to it's delightful, it's amazing, it's wondrous, or it's red, it's green, it's blue, it's yellow, you're individuating, you're conditionalizing. You're taking the entirety of who you are and narrowing it down to that very specific point. It's very delightful indeed to be doing that. That's why you have a body. And the communication device that your body serves as is, of course, to interact with the potted plant, for example. But it is also to interact with you, who you are in truth. That's where the most communication is happening. Yes, it happens between you and all the externalized objects in the room. And they're not really objects, they're really subjects. But it happens between you and the potted plant, between you and the tree outside, between you and the chair upon which you sit, between you and the bed upon which you lie. It happens between and amongst all of you. But it primarily is a communication device between the idea of yourself and you. Now, your body doesn't know anything about the essential nature of who you are. For it sees you as the creator, because you are the creator. The potted plant, the tree, the bed, the table, the chair, they're all the same. They see you as the creator, how you identify yourself as the creator. But you know who you really are, and you know that you're a channel of the good for this potted plant. And you're a channel of the good for this chair and this table. But you're not the source of it. But from the potted plant's perspective, that doesn't mean anything. It's not significant. Because one and all things are the same all at one time. That's not a collapse of logic. It's just simply what's going on. Your body is the device by which you are communicating the true nature of what these things are to them, and then receiving that in reply and response. And it is quite delightful. Now, this may just seem like so much hokum and mumbo jumbo and very interesting deep metaphysics, but it's not really applicable, except that it is applicable. One thing to remember is that your body is not static. First and foremost, your body is not static. It is an ongoing manifesting entity. Now, we can look at this on a biological level, and we can say, for example, cells are dividing, cells are dying off and being sloughed off, being discarded through the various orifices of your body. We can look at how you take in certain things, you process them, and then you split it out, things to be used, things to be stored, and things to be discarded. And it's very efficient. So you could say, well, your body's in motion that way. The heart is beating, there's circulation, oxygen is being delivered to cells, carbon dioxide is being offloaded and then expelled through your lungs when you breathe out. Cells are dividing constantly, 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 constantly. And then we haven't even talked about the many guest stars of your body, bacteria primarily, which are doing a whole host of things for you. Not to mention the creatures that are crawling up and down your skin that you can't see, which we really wouldn't recommend you go look for. But they're very helpful, just like there are ants crawling up and down the trunk of a tree, helping it to stay clean. So too, do you have things like that interacting with your body? Your body is a condominium. Again, we're on the biological level only. The body is a condominium more than anything else. It's a building that has a lot of occupants and has a lot of things going on. It's an amazing device. But if we look at it metaphysically, your body, the communication it's doing, the way in which it is evolving, the communication is not from fixed point A to fixed point B. It's not like in the olden days when you had the telephone hanging on the wall in the kitchen with the really long cord so that you could, if you needed to, like sneak into the dining room and have a little private conversation with your boyfriend or girlfriend. While everybody else is in the kitchen talking, it's not that. It's not a fixed thing. It's not a fixed position. And it's not like you're talking from point A to point B and point A never moves and point B never moves. And we say it's a communication device primarily between you, the creator, as well as the created, back to the creator, which is creating you. In other words, you as an extension of the your of the essential nature of your being, you, the extension being yourself, that these things are happening. There's a communication happening. And so the potted plant benefits from that, and the tree outside the window benefits from that, and the table and the chair benefit from that. This is all going on, but at the same time, everything is in constant motion. The potted plant is not fixed. The tree is not fixed. Nothing is fixed, and nothing is static. Everything is in constant, constant, constant motion. That includes your body. So the practical application of all of this is to recognize that your body is surrounded by helpers, first and foremost. Second, it's in motion constantly. It's in the manifesting form, evolving constantly. And just because it looks like or feels like or sounds like this, that, or the other today doesn't mean it will be the same tomorrow. In fact, it doesn't mean it will be the same in the next 5 minutes or even in the next minute or even in the next second. Part of the dilemma that brings such a conversation like this to the table is the idea that the body is in decay. Certainly the laws of thermodynamics would say that everything trends towards entropy, that everything is falling apart, that tightly formed objects are now expanding away from each other and are becoming more and more diverse and dispersed, and therefore having less and less good to offer back to themselves. Rust is an example of this. Age is an example of this. But rust is not an example of this, and nor is age. Rust is rust. And you can say, well, that's oxidized metal. Yeah, it is oxidized metal. But where did it come from? And you can say, well, it was exposed to oxygen by the elements. It's sitting outside. Okay. Sure. And that's a really good scientific explanation for it. If you have rust, you have rust. If you don't, you don't. We understand the scientific method behind this, and we understand all of that. We're not questioning that. We're just saying this is metaphysics. You're not getting old. You're not breaking down. You may think you are, and you may think you look like that, but that's just because you're referring to the past, for one thing, and because of the way you're anticipating the future. Your body, however, is perfect right here and right now. Even if you don't like the perfection, even if you don't like what that means or what it looks like, that's the main reason for this conversation. But first, we start off by saying, well, what is the body for? The body is for the expansion of unconditional love and for the delight of being present in the body with all the objects, meaning those things that are subject to you, that surround you, that are here for the delight and the magic and the wonder of it all. It's not here for any other purpose. It's not here to be flayed, which some of you do believe is necessary, that you have to basically punish the body over and over and over again for having misbehaved earlier, as though it's some sort of child that is completely out of control that needs to be reined in and called to somehow or another being more perfect and more wonderful than it is already. It is wonderful and perfect as it is right now. And all is well with your body. Everything happening here is indeed happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. All is well and all is wonderful. So you're here in the middle of this, having what it is that delights you, whether you recognize that or not, whether you believe that or not. That is, in fact, what is happening. And this body is your perfect, delightful communication device, which is basically communicating between you and all of the things, and all of the people, by the way, because people are things too, or whether should we say things are people too, whichever way you want to go, both are correct. And that these things, these people, these experiences, these situations, these conditions that you're manifesting, that you're interacting with, the interaction is happening at the level of the body as the focal point. The body is not doing the communicating in the sense of the body is telling things what to do or being told even what to do. The body is a communication device through which you are using in order to have the experience of being with all the other objects in the room, including other people. Now, we'll go more into this as we go deeper with this, but we want to say, first and foremost, this introductory conversation is very specifically just to get you set up with the framework. Your body is not real in the way that you think it is. It is a device you're manifesting. It's not static. It's an ongoing manifesting. It's an ongoing continuing. It's a communication device. This is primary. That is its primary function. And we don't mean through speech, although it does speak, obviously. And you do hear words, most of you. And you do see things, most of you, through your eyes. So you're communicating in that way. But that seems to be the most important communication when, in fact, it's the least important. Primary communication is happening on a vibrational level. So the vibrational relationship between you and the potted plant is one of adoration and delight and wonder and magic. And you are the source of the potted plant. Although you know that the source of you is not found in your body, but it's the channel through which the potted plant arises. All objects arise in this way. All manifesting happens through the body, but not through the physical body, but through the idea of the body. The context of these things and the way in which they appear and the color that they have and the sound that they emit is all coming from the relationship to the body and the brain and the nervous system. Now, if we haven't completely confounded you, then we haven't been successful. We're not here to lay out something that is understandable. We're mostly here to talk about how everything you think you know about your body is wrong. Even the ways in which you think you understand it from a very nice New Age metaphysical way. Even if you think, no, I've heard all this before. I was in those conversations. I was in the original one of these conversations. I remember all of this. I've heard it. Okay, well, that's really good, except that you're not the same you that you were then. Even if you listen to the other series that are related to this one, just before coming onto this call, you're still not the same. Part of what we're trying to remind you of is that your body is a toy. It's something you're playing with. It is a delightful device, primarily used for communication with the other objects in your hologram. And it is helping you individuate out. That's its primary function, but it's also here for the delight. It helps you ground yourself, the you yourself, into a physical form that sets you apart, because when you start identifying physically, then there's pieces and parts. There's you and the others. Non-physically, there's no such thing. You're at one with all things. And you know it. And it's very clear, as it is to us. But physically, when you identify with your body and you're identifying through you yourself, personality and name, then you're individuating very specifically on purpose. And of course, again, the purpose of individuation is for the expansion of unconditional love to become more of itself by conditionalizing itself. So this is where we begin. And we do hope that you are quite confused, because we're not here to bring understanding. We're here to help you have delight with your body, which will not be found undoubtedly through understanding. Understanding might be a delightful byproduct, and you might come into a deeper appreciation and awareness of your body as the device of delight, wonder, and magic and communication that it is. But we're not here to explain the nature of your body. We're here to help you remember why you have it and why you're using it and what it's for. Not for purpose, but for the present moment. Not for ongoing projects, but for the purpose of the present moment. Here and now, delightful indeed. Helping you identify apart from the true nature of your being so that you can become more of who you are, unconditional love, through form, amplifying. And with that, we'll say what it is that we love to say each and every time we say it. And it's this: that as wonderful and delightful and delicious and amazing and magical as all of this is, as all of this is, it's only getting better and better and better and better and better from here.